In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 138, the Liturgical Colors, and we have images of the vestments and the various colors that they can be in, and then also a second image with the colors for the each of the seasons, or the reasons for each of the colors and when they're to be used. Okay, so we see Christmas, Easter, Our Lady, angels, confessors, and virgins are in white. Pentecost, the Passion of Our Lord, the apostles and martyrs are in red. All days except the feast of Our Lord, of the angels, and of Our Lady, and of the saints is green. Advent, Lent, Ember days, vigils, derogation days are violet or purple. Then we have black is used for Good Friday, masses and functions for the dead. Okay, the reading is, what colors are used at Mass? At Mass, various colors are used according to the season and event being commemorated. These colors being white, red, green, purple, and black. In the early days of the Church, the vestments were of one color, white, though black was also used for mourning. In our times, not only the priest's vestments, but the tabernacle curtain veil and the antependium are in the prescribed color. White vestments are worn on the festivals of Our Lord, except those of His Passion. They are also used for feasts of Our Lady and of virgins and confessors. White symbolizes purity and joy, hence its use for Our Lord and virgins. Red vestments are used at Pentecost, in commemoration of the descent of the Holy Spirit in the forms of tongues of fire. Red is likewise used on the Feast of Martyrs and Apostles, and on the Feast of the Holy Cross. Red is the color of fire and blood, hence its use for Pentecost and for martyrs is very appropriate. Green vestments are prescribed on Sundays after the Epiphany and after Pentecost, that is, outside Lent and Advent, except when some special festival requires another color. Gold may be substituted on solemn feasts for white, red, and green. Green is the symbol of hope and growth, hence its use for the greater part of the year. Purple or violet vestments are worn during Advent and Lent, as well as for vigils, rogation days, and ember days. Vigils are the days preceding great festivals. As purple is a penitential color, it is fitting to use it during the seasons of special penance, Advent and Lent. It is also used on December 28th, Feast of the Holy Innocents, to show the sympathy of the Church towards the mothers of the first martyrs. Okay, I have one thing to comment on that. On the Feast of the Holy Innocents, when it falls on a Sunday, the color is red, and if it falls on any other day of the week, the color is violet. So that's the only feast I think that I can think of where it switches colors depending on what day of the week it falls on. Okay. Black vestments are used at ceremonies for the dead and on Good Friday. However, at the funerals of children who die before the age of reason, white vestments are used to express the joy we should feel at the knowledge that an innocent one is home. That concludes the reading there. I did have someone ask me about the rose-colored vestments. that are worn once during the Advent season and once during the Lenten season. And I think rose is, I guess, a little lighter color of violet or purple. It is still a penitential color, but there is joy intermixed with that as well. It mentions here that at funerals of children who die before the age of reason, white vestments are used to express the joy we should feel at the knowledge that an innocent one is home. I think the assumption there is that the child has been baptized, that we are dealing with a baptized child who has passed away before reaching the age of reason, and then the white vestments are used on that occasion. I don't want to get into the debate whether the unbaptized child, of those who are aborted, what happens to their soul. That is really for God to judge, because anything that we could say is purely a guess or opinion. It's hypothetical. God is the judge, and I've always tried to steer people in that direction, that God will judge us and how guilty we are, because he only knows what is in our heart and what is in our soul. And that is something that is beyond us. I suggest very often that children, at least in my mind, in my opinion, if you will, that God must give them the sufficient knowledge to make a choice whether to love him or to reject him, just as God did to the angels in heaven, and that they will be judged according to whether they choose to love God or not. But I'm not ready to say that all children who die automatically go to heaven, or that everyone who dies goes to heaven. I think that is a lie. It does not manifest the justice of God, and I think the modernists are very wrong in celebrating these funeral masses in white as in celebration, because there is a hell, there is a purgatory, and it may very well be that your loved one is in heaven, but it perhaps is more likely that they are in purgatory, or even worse, they may be in hell and are in desperate, well, if they're in purgatory, they're in need of our prayers. If they're in hell, our prayers will not be able to help them, but perhaps can be applied to some other soul. These are the liturgical colors that are approved by the church. I know that the modernists have tried to bring, even I think some traditionalists of that mentality, they want to bring in blue for the Blessed Mother or some other color for whatever reason, but these are the only colors that are approved by the church, so there's really no place for blue vestments or yellow or any other color. These are the colors. And of course it mentions that gold may be substituted for feasts where white, red, or green are used. Do we have any questions or comments?
So, Your Excellency, one of the times when we streamed Mass, I noticed that you had a set of vestments that were white, but they had quite a bit of blue, you know,
ornamentation, trimming, yeah.
So that's really not changing. I guess, to me, the blue stood out, and so I guess I picked out more. But that really is the main color of the vestment.
Has to be the correct color, yes.
Okay.
So there may be ornamentation of various colors, but the main color has to be red, green, black, purple, or white.
So the ornamentation really doesn't matter. That color is
it's
the feast of the Blessed Mother, and there was a set of vestments that the priest had that had blue, you know, ornamentation. Then that's fine.
That's fine. Yes. Yeah.
But
okay.
We cover this. We were looking it up, but some ornamentation, not all ornamentation, can be has is permitted, like the image of the Sacred Heart cannot be on the vestments. We're reading that recently, a couple years ago.
Yeah, the image of the Immaculate Heart or the Sacred Heart is not to be displayed alone, separate from the body of our Lord. So that is a rubric that I think many have failed to comprehend, and I think it's specifically in liturgically that this cannot be done, because I have seen many places where it seems no one pays any attention, and they have images of the Sacred Heart or images of the Immaculate Heart alone without the corpus, without the body, and I don't think the rubric applies to that, but definitely on vestments and things that are used within the church and the liturgical seasons of the church, those are forbidden, those appearances.
I just thought that was fascinating.
So, so basically out there, you know, my family out there at Bavarian, you know, it's, I guess, in they have a flag for a month of the year for the Sacred Heart, and it's just the Sacred Heart. And I'm pretty sure that when I asked you about that, you said that that really was not liturgically correct, that to show, you know, on a, I say, a public, how do you say, representation of that, that would be, you know, on a flag flying, it should have been, you know, the Sacred Heart without the body was not really correct.
Yeah, that is what I understand by the reading of the rubric. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to read it to us?
It says, unless the person, which would mean
our Lord, Christ, or the Blessed Mother,
is also shown, it is forbidden to display at the altar a representation of the hearts of Jesus and Mary, whether alone or together, even if the representation is merely in the form of an emblem attached to a sacred vestment, a pall, or like such as representation may only be used for private devotion.
So I guess a flag is not private devotion, is it?
I wouldn't say so. It's very interesting.
No, I can't imagine how that could be construed as private devotion, because they're, I mean, the whole idea of the flag is to let other people know,
that,
you know, your opinion, or whether you're flying the American flag or whatever.
It's a public announcement of what you believe or are professing. So, but, you know, that is rubrics that come from the time of Pius XII. So if they're modernists or following the Novus Ordo or the new popes or whatever it is, I'm not sure what those rubrics are at all. I have no idea. I haven't purchased a modern canon law or book of rubrics to check it out. I really don't care to get involved in that, what the modernists teach. I'm just as much interested in that as what the Anglicans teach or the Lutherans teach. I'm more concerned about trying to focus on what the Catholic Church teaches, and that we do what the Church teaches, and what other people do, that's their problem. They will answer to God. You know, we can point out the obvious things, the differences of religion, the differences in the worship, and I think that's really enough for anyone to see and to observe without getting into which rubrics we're going to follow. Obviously, because we're sede vacantes, we do not recognize these men as popes, and therefore I don't recognize their new code of canon law. I don't recognize their rubrics. I don't recognize their worship ceremony, which they call a mass. To me, it is no different than the Anglicans. I spoke to a lady on the phone just today, was asking me about the new pope. I said, well, the Novus Ordo has a new pope, so what? Oh, there was a lot of ceremony and ostentation there, and it was so beautiful. I said, well, the Anglicans have a lot of ostentation. They have a lot of beauty in their ceremonies, but they're not priests and they're not Catholic. So what? who cares? I'm not interested in that anymore. They would be wonderful if they were Catholic, but I don't see how they can be, because they have non-Catholics who have elected one of their own to be the head of their church. And to me, it's as simple as that. Yeah. And so I don't like to get into arguments, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. You know, it's like people going along and saying, you can't fly the American flag upside down, and saying, well, yes, you technically can. and it is, it's a sign of distress. It's perfectly acceptable. I forget exactly what the correct terminology is there, but yes, it's not normally done. It's not the custom, but in sign to show distress, very often people will fly the American flag, which looks like upside down. And so that's an acceptable rubric, but that's because the United States has applied that or made that our law, our rule, and our custom. And that is acceptable to every American, or at least it should be. Whether other countries allow their flags to be flown that way or not, I don't know. And really, I don't care. I'm more interested, as I said before, what the Catholic Church teaches, what does God want us to do. And we look back to Pius XII as our last true pope, and those are the rubrics that we follow.
Okay. I have one other thing, Your Excellency.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in the book, but on page 282, you know, it's showing the, I mean, what I would call a monstrance, and they're listing it as an ostensorium. And
okay.
I mean, maybe that's, those two words are interchangeable.
That's correct. They're using those interchangeably. We saw that in the last lesson last week, I believe it was.
I guess I didn't pick up on that last week. All right. Thank you.
Maybe that was two Sundays ago, or two Mondays ago. I can't remember here now. Okay, yeah, on page 278, I have the monstrance, or ostensorium, is the large metal container used for benediction or exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. In many churches, it is of gold and decorated with jewels. So that was mentioned on page 278, which was 2 weeks ago, I guess. All right.
Okay, yes, I'll see that now. Thank you, Your Excellency. Sorry about
You're welcome. No problem. We will end now with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et moniat semper. Amen.